Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you'd like to follow along, turn to Psalm 34, the 34th Psalm. And I'm going to begin reading verse 1 and go to verse 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I'm going to stop right there. I thought about something past week. You know, sometimes things get in your head and you can't get rid of them for a while. But I thought about this. If you knew exactly what I meant, and if we knew this Bible like we should, I could preach the gospel in 4 words. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you knew what I meant by that, if you know what this Bible means by that, he's the gospel. He's the answer to any relevant question. I'm going to put it that way. He may not be the answer to your foolish questions, but they're foolish questions. That's the whole definition. He's the gospel. He's the good news. The good news of love, of life, of knowledge. And to know him is to know the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father through the Son. Through the Son. He's the gospel, the good news. And everything I try to say from this desk, and I know Walter and Paul would agree, everything we try to say from this desk is the message of Jesus Christ, because he is our message. Every sermon, Paul says he's determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what I want to try to do today, is to preach Christ, his person, and his work from Psalms 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now those first two words, O taste, O taste. Now, up until here, David is writing about himself, except for verse 3. Verse 3, he says, O magnify the Lord with me. But before that, he says, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. But here he comes, and he says, O taste! O taste! What did he say in verse 3? O magnify the Lord with me. This, he is imploring you. He's imploring me. He's speaking to everyone. everyone should taste. Taste. Why? Because it would be good for you to taste. I like that. Now, I did look up in the Hebrew through Strong's Concordance what this word taste means. Well, it literally means taste. That's what it means. It means taste. Also, eat, which is good. Now, oh, taste and eat. Consume. You understand? He's talking about putting something in your mouth and tasting it. That's the illustration he's giving here. That's the word he's using. Taste it. Eat it. Consume it. Take this into your body. Take this into yourself. Taste it. And this brings us to the figurative word, the figurative meaning of this word, taste. It's the word perceive. Perceive. You understand? You want to know what you're putting in your mouth. And if you put something in your mouth, you're going to know what it is. You're going to know what's going on because you're going to taste it. To perceive, to recognize, and to some extent, understand. To know. Taste and perceive. David is telling us to do this. But he adds something else. He's not done with this instruction. He says, oh, taste and see. See. Now, I looked that word up in the Hebrew also. And it means to see. It's been real difficult so far, I understand. Taste and see. Taste and see. Look, behold, to actually see. To gaze at. Literally and physically, to see and discern and to actually look. So we have this statement here. Put it together, it is O, taste and see. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but it got a hold of me because I want to tell you something here. The way David wrote this is not the natural way that we do things. Did you realize that? It's not the natural way of doing things. It's not, put it this way, it's not man's way of doing things. The usual way that men look at things is to see and then to taste. Well, David wrote it exactly the other way. With natural things, seeing and tasting is not wrong. That's the normal, natural way in this world. But David is not writing of the way of men. David is writing of the way of the Lord here in this psalm. What's David saying here? Let's see if I can put it kind of plainly. Something has to happen to you in order for you to see. There has to be a change in you in order for you to see. You have to be able to taste to see the Lord. Before you can see, you have to taste. In that order, David wrote it and God meant it, O, taste and see that the Lord is good. In that order. Not see and then taste. I understand the way man is because I was, and still am actually, in some ways a natural man. You understand, you can talk to people about the Lord and they say, well, I can't see it. And what they mean is, I can't see it and I can't taste it. I don't understand it. I can't perceive it. And unfortunately, they're right. What'd Paul say? Well, first, what did John write in his gospel? The scriptures state plainly that men love darkness rather than the light. They like darkness better than they like the light. They like darkness instead of the light. That's what men want. They want to see, and then maybe they'll agree to taste. No, they won't. The scriptures also state, you will not come to me that you might have life. Christ said that. Paul wrote the scriptures, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. And he also wrote, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded, so that they cannot see. You understand, man thinks the problem is with somebody else. But what they don't understand is the problem is with man. The problem is with us. It always has been. Jesus Christ is the light, whether we see him or not. Amen. And his being the light, he shines. He glows. He's everywhere on this earth. But we don't see it. Man cannot see it. The blind cannot see. Man naturally cannot see. The ability to taste, the ability to perceive, the ability to understand comes before you see. The world doesn't understand, the world cannot understand. But these are the words of the Lord through his prophet David to us. Oh, taste and see. Taste and see. Then he says these three words. That the Lord. This is where David's going. The Lord. Yahweh, Jehovah. Blessed be his holy name. David's telling us he's writing of the God above all. Taste and see. That the Lord. Understand, man's not important here. Tasting and seeing man might just give you a heartache, a headache, and a stomach ache. But God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the supreme ruler, the one who reigns over all, that's the one we are to taste and to see. The supreme ruler. The one who does as he wills in the armies of heaven and among all the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what do you think you're doing? That's the one we are to taste and see. Glory to his name. And we are to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Good. You understand? This is real good. This is not our version of good. This is real good. The Lord is good. Now, we throw the word good around. That's just the way we are. It's what we've become part of the English language, you know? Good morning, good evening, good night. And if you're Charlie Brown, it's good grief. You know? We throw out good coffee, good food, good dog, and even good kids. That's not what David's writing about when he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because the word good doesn't mean the same thing to us that it means to God. What did Jesus Christ say about it? Well, when a rich young ruler came up to him, and said to him, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" The first thing Christ said to that man was, "Why do you call me good? There's none good, but one." And that's God. And you understand, through the rest of that account, that young man never called him good again. But Jesus Christ was good. And Jesus Christ is good. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. Whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, he's good. He's absolute good. Oh, there's none good except God. Paul the Apostle agreed, and he wrote in Romans 3, quoting from the 53rd Psalm, and he's writing about men, Jew and Gentile, that's everybody, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, you understand why there's none that doeth good? It's because there's none good but God. Oh, my. That's the point. Man is bad. God is good. The Lord is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is essentially, infinitely, perfectly, immutably, and solely good. You know, I wish I wrote that. I stole that from John Gill. But it's a good statement. Essentially, infinitely, perfectly, immutably, and solely good. Good. He is the creator and author of all that is good. The Lord communicates his goodness to men. How? First and foremost, by his son. His son. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, but it says in the Hebrews, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. God himself came down here on this earth and spoke good words to us. Now, granted, naturally, we can't understand them. But by the power of his Spirit, oh, the Spirit understands all things and shows some of them to us. Those who believe, the Lord sent his Son to speak, and he speak to us of the God, of the Lord's will, his way, and his words. And Jesus Christ did. He came and spoke to us. I like that. I do. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, is good. Now, what's the results of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good? What did he say? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. You understand? David's here talking about taste and see the Lord is good. If you do, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed of God. It's not a natural thing to trust Jesus Christ. It's not a natural thing for a man to believe Christ. It takes the power of God to taste and see that the Lord is good. It takes the power of God to trust in him. We are too prone to trust ourselves. We are too likely to trust ourselves or another man. Maybe even a good man. But no, blessed is the man that trusts in him, who is all good, who is all good. If you truly taste and see that the Lord is good, you're blessed. And I like the other, the meaning of that word. It's happy. It's happy. You understand, if you come to trust Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ, it'll make you happy. Granted, your circumstances may make you miserable, but you're happy in Christ. There is a joy in believing Christ. There is a joy in knowing Christ, in knowing the Father, in knowing the Son, in knowing the Spirit, that this world will never know. Blessed is that man. You understand? Talking about God, but yet man gets blessed. Isn't that great? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What? In Christ. In the Son. In Christ. Blessed is the man that tastes and sees that the Lord is good. They'll trust in Him. They'll trust in Him. His word, this word right here, will become more important to you than your own words. That's not natural. It's not. His word, the Lord's word, becomes more important to you than almost anything on this planet. Because His way is the way you want to go. His light is the light you want to see. His words are the words you want to hear. And His love is the love you want to feel. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Trust in Him. I read something the other day. It was just a simple statement, and I really liked it. I found out the guy who wrote it certainly doesn't think about it the way I do, but it's still a good statement, and I'm going to share it with you here in just a second. But this was actually written by a Vietnamese Buddhist monk, okay? The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth. And I thought about that. And see, what hits me before I found out who this guy was, okay? The miracle is that God was manifest in the flesh. Abided with us on this earth. That's the miracle. That He walked on the water, that's just gravy. The miracle is that He actually, God condescended to come down. He humbled Himself. He was up there with the Father. But He came down here with the express purpose of saving His people from their sins. That's the miracle. And He did it. He did it. Now, this fellow was trying to tell people that they're all miraculous in and of themselves. That ain't so. But the miracle's not that He walked on the water. The miracle is that He walked on this earth. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is all good and all perfect and all holy. And He came down here to die as a perfect substitute for His people and save His people from their sins. The incarnation of Christ was a glorious prophesied miracle. God became man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God became man. He took on the form of a servant. He didn't come in glory, but He came gloriously. I like that. He came in love, in truth, in reality and in power. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And he still is. He still is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Today. Understand? This is just like anything else in the scriptures. Understand? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is all written in the present tense. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good today. Not just yesterday. Not maybe tomorrow. Today's the only day you got. Today's the only day any of us have. Tasting and seeing never stop. Continue to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that. Tasting and seeing never stop for the child of God. Never. Because we are to taste and perceive and comprehend and know every single day. And we are to look and to behold and to see every day. Every day. I'm going to close with this. Isaac Watts wrote this little song. Not with our mortal eyes have we beheld the Lord. Yet we rejoice to hear his name and love him in his word. On earth we want the sight of our Redeemer's face, yet, Lord, our inmost thoughts delight to dwell upon your grace. And when we taste thy love, our joys divinely grow, unspeakable like those above, and heaven begins below. We are allowed here on earth still clay pots made out of mud to taste and see that the Lord is good. And be blessed as those are blessed in those that trust him.